Good morning and welcome to the greatest show on air, Old Lion, Young Lion, and the ever-expanding Old Lion, Young Lion. If you must know, our show will be expanding next month, not only to additional radio channels, but also wherever you get your podcasts. Now, my name is Anthony Stafford. I am the Young Lion, and I'm here today with Sam Hazelton, the Old Lion. Sam, say hi to the folks.
Hello.
And Sam and I, we run this show, Old Lion, Young Lion, and our show exists to discover truth from God's Word and proclaim it boldly. What we know very clearly is that the Bible teaches that the righteous are bold as lions, and we intend to be bold on this show. We also work for the greatest lion of all time, Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, my personal redeemer and savior. Now, Sam and I are both elders and pastors at a local church in Schenectady, New York. That's upstate New York, not New York City. We are in upstate New York, and our church is located on 2350 Hamburg Street. We gather to worship the King of Kings every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., and we'd love for you to come and be a part. Now, you can email our show at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com with your questions and your comments, and we want to thank all of the listeners and those that have already emailed the show as we've been going. Our show is going to continue to grow with the blessings of God. Now, we need to shout out our sponsor this week before we get into the rest of today's content. Our sponsor is a shout out to Dane Coates, now a New York boys basketball champion, and he won the state championship with his team, BKW, which is Burn Knox Westerlo High School. They won the boys basketball championship last week. We want to shout them out. Thank you, Dane, and his father, Ryan, for sponsoring all of today's episode. So before we get into today's episode, we have a little bit of a tradition that we like to do, and that is we want to pray for you and pray for the show. And so, Old Line, could you, if you don't mind, kick off our show, take a deep breath, take a pause, and then kick off our show with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we come to you with humble hearts this morning, and we recognize we're dealing with a topic today that is hard to understand. We're talking about the supernatural realm. We're talking about spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Father, I pray that as we do this, Lord, that you would give us clarity of speech. I pray that those who are in the sound of our voice would understand what we're saying. Father, I pray, Lord, that even as we bow our heads right now, we know that this is the way to defeat the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places in prayer. And so we ask, God, that as we pray, and as we do this show, Lord, that you would put to flight your enemies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we pray a blessing over all those that are listening. And we don't know, Sam and I do not know what you're walking through or what battle that you have been in recently or lately, but we know that the way and the truth and the life is through Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is what you need for anything in your life. He is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. And he has whatever you're looking for. And I ask you to come and meet him. And so we pray that you are able to come a little bit closer to your creator. And we also pray that this show is a help and an encouragement for you to walk a little bit closer with God wherever you are walking. So Sam, why don't you give us, before we get into the content, give us where we've been, what we've been talking about over the recent weeks, and also give us a little bit about what we're going to be talking about today, and then give us maybe something that's coming up, a big surprise that's coming up over in the next few weeks.
We're going to be dealing with a topic of spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, which we read about in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 12. And we're going to get into, we're going to answer some questions today. What are demons? Where did they come from? What do they do? How do they operate? How do they gain access to a person? And how do you get free from them? And we're going to tackle those questions today. Coming up in the next several weeks, we're going to be starting a series on the Antichrist. And you would be surprised at the amount of content in your Bible deals with this person of the Antichrist and how he can be identified and what he will do in his role. So we're going to be getting into a lengthy series on that, and we hope you'll stay tuned for that.
I like what you're bringing up, and I think today's episode is going to be interesting for a lot of folks. And I think maybe some people that are listening, and myself and yourself as well, have interacted with some of what's known as the demonic world, or have kind of had some engagement with the spiritual unseen realm. But let's just start with Ephesians 6 verse 12. I'm going to read this verse, Old Lion, and then before we even get into talking about demons and devils and familiar spirits, unfamiliar spirits, and antichrist spirits, before we even get into that, I want you to give us just a little sense of what Paul is talking about in Ephesians 6, 12, just to kind of set the agenda of big ideas and little ideas with this Ephesians 6, 12, and then we'll start breaking into the content. So Ephesians 6, verse 12, the Bible says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." What is Paul getting at? What is he describing? And if we were to unpack that verse in a big way, how can we look at it for our world today?
First of all, there is a highly organized kingdom.
Okay.
In the supernatural realm, which is against God, with Satan at the very top of that pyramid. There are also fallen angels that followed Satan in his rebellion against God. There are demons that we're going to talk about today, where they come from and how they operate as well. And so Satan is working against God throughout the earth at the national level, at a very high level, and also right in the weeds, in your personal level. You probably know people who are battling with demonic oppression right now. You may not realize it, but there are people that are going through these fights and these skirmishes. The Bible says that God has myriads, that's tens of thousands of tens of thousands of angels.
Wow.
Satan has one third of all the angels. And add to that the many, many myriads of demons that have now been released into the earth. And it's a formidable army that is against mankind.
Wow. So there's kind of this big overarching battle. And then there's these individual battles. And some of you may have been even part of something like that. And I got to kind of give some testimony here and even hand out a little bit of rebuke for a moment. In the past, what it has been is the Church of the Living God ought to rise up in these battles and stand not only for truth and righteousness, but against those wickedness in high places. And instead, what we're sold today is some kind of cushy building with air conditioning and nice clothes and comfortable seats where you can have your kids be watched while you come and sit with your coffee for a second and hear some kind of good for you special sermon TED talk that's going to give you an idea of how to have a better week. That is not what the powerful church is supposed to be operating in. They should be operating in the battle of the ages and standing against this wickedness, not casually and comfortably making the slide to hell a more enjoyable experience. You should rise up, and the Church of God should rise up and start in these battles. And if you don't even believe in the unseen, if you don't even believe in the spiritual battles that are happening, you're already at a disadvantage. And I want to give a little bit of a story that I walked in, and I know this is a little bit different than our normal show, but I want you to pay attention to this. The Bible teaches us pretty clearly in a couple instances. There's this powerful passage in Daniel chapter number 10, and Daniel 10 gives this idea that Daniel was praying and waiting for an answer for God. An angel shows up to Daniel 3 weeks after he starts praying, and he says, "I intended to come to you 3 weeks ago, but I was stopped and withheld by a demon named the Prince of Persia. I was stopped from being able to get to you by this spiritual battle that was happening, and I was not able to." This is just what the Bible teaches. But there's a little side note that says that all the men around Daniel, when he was speaking to this angel, could not see the angel, but they felt the movement of the supernatural in the natural realm. The Bible says that they were quaking and they ran off. Similarly, when the Apostle Paul, before he was converted to Christianity, got a vision from the very Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when he saw Jesus Christ and had a conversation with him, all the men surrounding Paul fell to the ground and heard rumblings but saw nothing. This is just evidence in the scripture that states that the supernatural affects the natural.
That's
so
right.
Everybody pay attention for a second. And I'm gonna ask Old Line some questions and some wisdom for us in a moment. But pay attention to this. Our church was called by a man a while back. And he was walking through confusion. And he was walking through devastation. He was walking through hardships in his life, and he needed help. And so I called myself, and I called the elders of our church. The Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And I brought three righteous men with me to go do battle with this man's confusion and with the darkness that was holding this man down. And we went to go visit him. We're standing talking to him for maybe an hour. As the sun begins to set, darkness kind of started surrounding us in the middle of this conversation. We see a car pull up to park near the driveway, and we see someone walking up. It ended up being this man's wife. As she walked by during this conversation, she made an under her breath comment that we could not decipher. And then the two elders that were with me standing in this battle over this man's heart and mind and soul, both of these men felt a coldness, a goosebumps, a tingling that was the spiritual realm engaging with the physical realm as we were doing battle over this man's soul. And now we can't prove this. We can't write this down. But as the elders of the Church of the Living God were doing battle for a man's soul, a woman that seemed to be the cause and the instigator of this confusion and devastation over this man's soul, walked by us, and we felt that in real time. We felt the oppression. We felt the coldness, and the wisp of her walking by was influence of the darkness in this battle that we are having. Maybe you've had an experience that's similar to this. Maybe you felt in some place some danger. Maybe you've had some kind of instinct against some person in public that you said, there's something that's just not right there. Now, I can't confirm everything that you've ever said about this or everything that you've ever felt about this, but the supernatural is real. The demonic is real. And it seeks not only to destroy men and women's lives, but it is after the Church of the Living God and any human being that God is after, these demons are also after. This has been my experience among many other times I've done battle with the spirits of darkness, but this is one that I know that some of you out there can relate to. With that being said, the Bible evidence and my personal testimony, I want to ask some questions, and I want to hear our resident Old Line give us some direction as we engage with this idea of spiritual wickedness in high places. So now that we kind of understand there's a skirmish and a war happening, there's individuals that are fighting, and then there's nations that are being deceived, I want to ask you this question, Old Line, and I want you to kind of engage with it a little bit. Demons, devils, dark spirits, antichrist spirits, what are they? What are they? What say you?
There is some confusion about what demons are. Some people think they are merely the same thing as fallen angels. And fallen angels, when Satan fell from heaven, he deceived and took a third of God's angels with him to his side.
Okay.
And so a lot of people imagine that demons and fallen angels are one and the same. However, the early church and all the people in Jesus' time understood that demons were a different class of spiritual being, if you will. So the Bible teaches in Genesis chapter 6 that the sons of God, the fallen angels,
right,
saw the daughters of men, saw that they were fair, and they took to wife of them such of them as they chose, and they bare children by them. These were the giants that were of old, the Nephilim. And so what the early church believed was that the demons were the disembodied spirits of these dead Nephilim. They had no place to go. They weren't welcome in heaven. They weren't welcome on earth. So these disembodied spirits of these dead Nephilim now went throughout the earth. It was a way for Satan to multiply his army. Why would Satan mate with human women? Well, to multiply his army. And now we see, if we fast forward about 3,000 years, we fast forward to the time of the ministry of Jesus. And if you read through the Gospels, through Matthew, through Mark, through Luke, through John, what you see is a culture that was ridden with demonic spirits. And Jesus, a big portion of Jesus' ministry was casting out demons.
So Old Line, maybe give a little bit clarification of this. I think that's a great point that you're making. Why does it seem that there's a spike in the spiritual realm when Jesus kind of shows up on the stage? The army seems to be building. Maybe there's some reaction to Christ. What say you about this massive spike in the culture being kind of affected by demons and devils?
Well, I think there only seems to be a spike because when Jesus showed up, he had authority over these demons, and he wasn't going to tolerate their activity. So he shows up, he says there's a new sheriff in town, and he has authority over all the serpents and scorpions and to tread upon demons and over all the power of the enemy. And so he would, with a word, he would cast these demons out. When he showed up in a synagogue and there was somebody sitting in the back of the church, sometimes this person would have a demon and they would cry out in the middle of the church service saying, I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. You are the Son of God. And he would demand that they be quiet and come out of the person, and he would cast them out. And this was a big part of his ministry.
I love that. Sheriff Jesus might need to be a new terminology that we enter into the show. I love Sheriff Jesus. And I think you're right. First John teaches us, the Apostle John writes to us and says that Jesus was manifested that he might destroy or undo the works of the devil. Right. And so that's a good word. Okay, so what are they? That is something to be looked into. Go read Genesis 6. Go read some of the historical narrative about what Jesus speaks to some of these guys. But what now? I want to ask this. We've seen this setting. We see these battles. We see these wars. We see these skirmishes on an individual level, on a national level. Okay, what are these guys after? What do they do? How do they operate?
Okay, so a demon is an entity. It's a spiritual entity. Think of it as a person without a body.
Okay.
Now, a spirit needs a body to be able to operate in this earth.
In the natural realm.
In the natural realm. Okay. So they have to operate through a person. They need a vehicle to work their evil. They're on the side of Satan. They're following his orders. They're working in lockstep with the purposes of Satan to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Mm. So here's some of the things that demons do.
Okay.
Number one, they plant thoughts in people's minds. All of us have this mailbox, if you will. And that mailbox is available. Anybody can come along and stick something in there. The devil can come and stick something in your mailbox. God, the Holy Spirit, can put something in your mailbox. And it's our job to discern what is a letter that I received from God, what was something that planted in my mind by Satan. And it's my job as a believer in Jesus Christ to rightly discern where those thoughts are coming from. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, we should take every thought captive, to the obedience of Christ.
I think this is a good point that you bring up, because when you read this first piece of mail from some demonic influence, sometimes we read a second piece from them and a third and a fourth and a fifth. And instead of rebuking it and rejecting it, we kind of get taken captive by these demonic thoughts. Okay. All right. What else do these guys do?
So once they plant the thoughts, now it's the ball's in our court.
Okay.
So we can either take it to Christ and deal with it there and get rid of it, or if we accept that thought, sometimes a demon will plant a thought in your mind and you'll meditate on it. You'll think about it. You'll reason with it, and you will accept it into your life. You'll believe that lie, accept it into your life. And now what his goal is there is to build what the Bible calls strongholds.
Okay.
And so these are built by bricks. Every single lie that the devil tells that you believe is another. You remember that old song from Pink Floyd in the 80s, Another Brick in the Wall.
Do you mean the 1980s?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
This is an old lion terminology again. Okay. All right.
All in all, it's just another brick in the wall. And so this is what Satan is doing. He's building these strongholds. And ultimately, what these demons are trying to do with you is not only have a servant of evil on the earth to lead you into sin, to lead you into breaking relationships and destroying other people and destroying property, and also trying to bring you ultimately to death. The devil comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so ultimately, the demons are going to try to get you to kill yourself. They're going to try to get you to do things that are going to lead to your death.
Yeah, and I think this is a good point to bring up. And it's not just about what we might determine as spiritual damage. And even though it is all spiritual damage, there's physical damage these guys are after too. They'll do anything not only to destroy your family physically, but your children. These are where some of these ideas come from in the world. This idea of abortion, this idea of destroying children's lives, even through any kind of institution that's happening throughout the world, this is a demonic and devilish idea. And they love when people are not just destroyed spiritually, but also physically. Okay, how can someone be prepared? How can a person out there that's listening be ready and on guard for how these guys gain access not only to our hearts, but our minds and the natural bodies that we have? So how is a demon gaining access?
Okay, so first of all, we need to think of two types of people. There are people that are not believers in Christ.
Okay.
And if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're essentially a sitting duck.
Okay.
For these demonic spirits. The Bible says, we all were once dead in our trespasses and sins in which we once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in the sons of disobedience.
Right.
And so all of us were among these sitting ducks at one time, and we were basically like a puppet on a string for Satan. Once a person comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, now all of a sudden those strings are cut, and now all demonic spirits are driven out, replaced by the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ himself in that person. Now you have a Christian, somebody who's doing damage to the kingdom of darkness. However, as a believer in Christ, you can open the door. You can give the devil a foothold, as the Bible describes. Once you're a child of God, Satan is unable to lift a hand or foot against the child of God except by permission. So he has to get either permission from God, or you, as the child of God, you can give permission to the devil to have a foothold in your life. And so we need to recognize, as a child of God, in general, you are protected. You've been given the mind of Christ. You now are submitted to him. His spirit is with you. Generally speaking, demons aren't going to mess with you, but they still have their techniques to try to gain access. And let me share a few of these techniques. Here's one: jealousy. We see in the Bible that Cain, who killed his brother Abel, he was beset with jealousy, caused him to murder his brother. We see Saul, the first king of Israel, was beset with jealousy for David, and he spent the rest of his life chasing David around, trying to kill him. And God removed his spirit from Saul and sent an unclean, evil spirit to torment Saul throughout his life. So jealousy is one thing, and bitterness. Here's a verse in James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. Verse 15, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but this is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. So we see that this is a way that demons gain access, through jealousy, through bitterness. Here's another one: unforgiveness.
Wow.
In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 34, Jesus tells a parable about a guy who was forgiven very much, and he goes out and he finds a guy who owes him a few bucks, and he goes and chokes the guy and throws the guy in prison because he owes him a few bucks. Word got back to the master who had forgiven him all his debt and said, hey, what are you doing, you wicked servant? And he turns him over in Matthew chapter 18, verse 34. He turns this servant over to tormentors.
Right.
And who are tormentors? Demons are tormentors.
Watching this idea of jealousy, bitterness, pride, these kind of senses that we all kind of are tempted with, this is a powerful illustration that demons are at work in your mind and in your spirit and in your heart. Sam, can you give us an idea of some practical, also maybe some practical practices where they're gaining access? We understand it's incredibly important to guard our hearts against jealousy and bitterness and unforgiveness. What are some ways these guys interact with on the practical level, some steps that we can take that just open the portals right up to some of these demons?
Well, one of the areas is drugs and alcohol. Oh my,
wow.
So in Galatians, it says that one of the works of the flesh is pharmakia.
Right.
It's a work of the flesh. Pharmakia is where we get our word pharmacy from. So when you are taking drugs, whether it's marijuana, whether it's cocaine, whether it's hallucinogenic drugs of any kind, what you're doing is you're opening yourself up to influence by demonic spirits. And so this is something that by choice, you're maybe not even realize that you're doing this, but right. I'm telling you right now, the Bible teaches that that's exactly what you're doing. And so when you're getting involved in those things, you're now opening yourself up to the influence of demons.
So drugs, what else?
The other one is a big area here.
Okay.
And let's turn to Deuteronomy. If you can get Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 14.
This passage in Deuteronomy gives the idea of the character of God and how he feels about some of these practices. The Bible tells us that there shall be none found among you, anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or uses divination, or is an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with the dead, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. He warns us about some of these practices.
There's Ouija boards, there's astrology, there's right. all kinds of ways.
And here's, psychics.
Right, mediums, the whole enterprise. Let me sum it up in one word, these occult practices.
Okay.
And essentially what you're doing is you are going to the dark spiritual kingdom to get information or power or something that you feel you need that God wants to be your supplier. The Bible says that God is a jealous God. He wants right. to be your all in all. He wants to be your everything. He wants to be your single source supply for everything you need. He says he's a jealous God. And so when you go elsewhere to try to get these perceived needs met, you go to some other source other than God to get satisfaction, get fulfillment here. He gets extremely jealous. And what he actually does as a jealous God, he will turn you over to the control by these wicked spirits that you sought out.
And you shouldn't, this is something God takes seriously. The way by which you become free of this is through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells you that you can have freedom. The book of 1 John teaches us many things about this. But he says, I write unto you, young men, because you are strong, the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. The way by which that we overcome some of this stuff is running to the word of God. Sam, have you had an experience or have you walked in some of this battle in your life before? What was that experience like? What did you need to employ and how did it turn out?
I was traveling in the nation of India last summer, summer of 2024, and we went out to a very remote place where we were told that we were the first European Caucasians who had ever been to this place in southeastern India. We get there and we taught and we preached. We got done. We're praying for people. They're lined up and we're praying for them. And I'm praying for this woman. And all of a sudden, I hear her hissing like a snake through her teeth. And I was dialed in. I immediately started praying against a lying spirit.
Wow.
And as I did that, she throws her head back. She starts laughing uncontrollably. I called over our translator because I didn't speak the language that they spoke. I called our translator over and I asked him, what is she saying? And he said, she's rebuking you. She's telling you that she's going to weaken you. And at that point, I'm in a fight or flight situation. I looked her in the eye. She was about 4 feet away from me. I just looked straight at her and I said, be quiet and come out of her in the name of Jesus.
Wow.
Immediately, as soon as those words exited my mouth, this lady collapsed. She fell unconscious onto the ground. She was unconscious for about 3 minutes. And wow. while she was unconscious, another lady came up and said, hey, she's been possessed by a demon for 15 years.
Wow.
And so when she finally came to, we were able to lead her into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And gave some instruction to her and her husband. And so it turned out good. But we as believers in Christ, the Bible says that we have authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And so you need to understand if you're a believer in Christ, you're the cops. It's your job to arrest and imprison these fallen spirits.
And you need to make sure that you take this seriously. We don't use the word of God just to find some moral lessons about how to be a good employee or do well at school. There is a real battle in the heavens that is going on. And there's battle in the individual lives of maybe some of you that are even listening. Today we presented with you a little picture, just a small picture, of the unseen realm. Now, we're not a show that gets into what's happening in the politics of the world or what's going on in the fashion world or maybe even what's going on in the sports world. It is our job, nay, our duty, to discover what it says in the Word of God and proclaim it boldly. We hope that you'll stick with us on this journey, and God bless.
And we'll see you in church.